It seems rather clear to me that middle age probably starts around 30. It's less clear to me when it ends. I've seen 55, 60, 65 as possible years. I think part of the problem is we're talking about the middle third of our lives, and we all live different lengths of life, so who knows what the middle third of our lives are until it's over. But I'm kind of taking this at around 60. You apply it as appropriate. But being middle-aged has a lot of positive aspects. It's that time in life when everything begins to click. Your knees, your elbows, and your neck. It's when you ladies realize you will never live long enough to try all of those coupons you have clipped and saved and put in your box. President Reagan said he knew he was middle-aged when he finally faced two temptations and he always chose the one that would have him home by 9 o'clock. I can relate to that. It's when you're told to slow down more by your doctor than by a policeman. There's just no end to little phrases we could use. But it is that difficult period between adolescence and retirement when you should take care of yourself, but often don't. Age is catching up with the baby boomers. A survey of some 1,200 baby boomers, 76% of them were convinced that they looked younger than they actually were. 73% believed that people who were 50 a generation ago looked a lot older than people of 50 of this generation. 66% of them worry about gaining weight. 30% worry about losing hair. 28% worry about getting wrinkles or having their hair get gray. But it is an interesting time of life as I look back on it. And it's going to happen to everybody here who lives long enough. And then you're going to feel a sonic boom. It's going to echo in your heart. Like a bomb in the gut. You're middle-aged. And maybe for only a nanosecond, you try to evaluate your life. It's that time in our lives when mirrors become Satan's tools. You get out of the shower. You dry off. When you're completely dry, you stop. But you look in the mirror and your body hasn't stopped. You feel like a bowl of Jell-O. It's horrible. No, it's the Middle Ages. That's an interesting phrase, the Middle Ages. When I got this assignment, I Googled Middle Age. And everything came up was Middle Ages. But seriously, you look at a picture of you and your dad when you were a kid, and it hits you. You're older than he was when that picture was taken. That's unfathomable, especially if your heart's young. You've learned how to be good sons and good daughters, but now you find out your parents need care. You've learned how to be a good husband or a wife, and then realize that your husband and wife has changed just as much as you, and you're not like you were when you first got married. You've learned how to be a good provider, but then you realize you're becoming obsolete in the workplace. And that the career you spent so long carving out has almost nothing to do with today's modern world. You've learned how to be good parents to your children. And you look up and they don't live with you anymore. It's an amazing time. For many, the middle age is a time of frustration when growing out replaces growing up. a time of lost dreams when families and homes are broken, broken apart because they're only rooted in the physical. A time of mortgages and bills when we feel too old to play and yet still too young to rest. When her knight in shining armor runs out of polish and becomes a distant blur behind the stacks of laundry, grocery aisles, and endless errands. When the light of his life turns into a nagging laser with demands of money, time, and mostly just more. When that promise, till death do us part, maybe becomes more of a threat than a promise. But most tragically, it's a time when many are left too scared to truly live, searching but not accepting. But I've got good news for you. It doesn't have to be that way for a child of God. I believe the Middle Ages, being middle-aged, should be one of, if not our most productive times of serving the Lord. It seems to me it should be that time when we have the maximum mixture of energy and wisdom. As we get older, we'll have more wisdom and less energy, and when we're young, we have more energy and less wisdom. But if you're middle-aged, you should be at that maximum mixture. You know, it's kind of odd how we recount age. You ask a little child how old they are, and they'll say, I'm 3 1/2. Teenagers are about the only people that tell us the truth. Because as we get up a little bit years, we're 50-ish. We're 60-ish. But I would like to highlight three critical changes that I believe should occur as we move into these years and are going to be critical for us serving the Lord as He deserves to be served. Number one, vulnerability. And I don't mean by that that we are more vulnerable in our middle years, but I think we've become to appreciate and realize it more. For many, being middle-aged is a time of discouragement and disillusionment, when rosy wonder is replaced with reality, when the finiteness of life becomes clearer. The feeling that it's really too late to start over takes hold. One is struck with the choices he or she has made regarding career, lifestyle, friends, mate. And when faced with those, the world tends to run. That's why we see so many broken homes of marriages that have been 20, 30, 40 years long. But a Christian, because of his faith, I believe can welcome the freedom that being middle-aged brings. Secondly, I believe for us, at least, there should be a significant movement from selfishness to selflessness. I remember in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, when the prodigal son had left, it says in that 17th verse, which is the fulcrum of that entire illustration, it says, "And he came to himself." He quit looking at his life as what's in it for me and began to look at it in terms of what can I do and what can I give. We've got a lot of young mothers here. But even if you're not a young mother, you can recall what a dramatic change it is in just a few years from being a teenage girl when you might spend 2 or 3 hours in front of the mirror looking just right for that boy who's getting ready to pick you up and take you out. You get married, you have kids, and sometimes you get clear to supper time and you haven't even had time to shower. Now, what's the difference? It's a movement from selfishness to selflessness. A moment when giving out finally begins to balance the taking in, the slaying of that ferocious beast of selfishness which can dominate our souls. There is a moment in the life of every man and woman when they come to the realization that they have largely wasted the moments the Lord has given them. And as the prodigal son did, they have to come to grips with what is its meaning. And illuminated against the backdrop of eternity, a voice of silence speaks. What is the purpose of my life? It's got to be more than that job, that house, or even that husband or that wife. From that moment on, once you cross that Rubicon, you can't be content with surface teaching and selfish taking, but must rely on the power of the Lord in the giving of self. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people go through their entire life and never cross that Rubicon. I'm talking about what the children of God should do. At middle-aged, number three, we are called louder than ever before to come to terms with the whole idea of being responsible. We sense our vulnerability. We give up some of our selfishness, and we understand and hopefully begin to be accountable and responsible for what we do. In reality, responsibility is a trust and a trait we often have a predilection to avoid. Why? Well, because we're human. Responsibility means obligation. And obligation must mean a curtailing of freedom. And we don't like that. And therefore, many people never take on the responsibilities they should have. And you may be one of them. Man loves freedom. But we also love decent, clean, productive, and emotionally rewarding lives. But that means work. Sometimes, therefore, we must do what we loathe. And yet, sometimes we do continue to shirk responsibilities. I believe as Christians in our middle years we have to move from privates and corporals, maybe even sergeants, to generals, colonels. We have to take on more responsibility. What I really want to talk to you about for the moments I have is those of us in the middle thirds of our lives taking on the responsibilities that must be taken on and not shirked. The proper use of our abilities. I believe that for most of us, our productivity is not based upon how much talent we have or skill. It's based upon how much will we have to use that talent. I think everybody here is sufficiently talented to do great things in the army of the Lord. The issue for you and I is not talent deficiency, it's the will to use that talent. The parable of the talents, what was the difference? The Lord didn't expect that the one he gave one talent would get 10. No, he just wanted him to double it. The one that had 5, double it. The one that had 10, so forth. The difference was the will. The will to use that which the Lord had given us. The stepping up to the plate, if you will. Some of us have leaned on people all of our lives for our spiritual strength. And the fact is, some of those people are gone, And the rest of them will soon be gone. And now what are we going to do? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." He doesn't say amble. He says run. We spent a week in my class talking about leadership. We'll spend another week in various aspects of leadership. It is in these middle years that you and I have to take the responsibility that our parents and grandparents once took. You know, one of the fascinating things about middle life is that it is a time of newness. Things change in these middle years. I guess they change in all years. Your kids are, for many of you, mostly grown. Now, if you're in the early part of middle age, they're not. The role you have with your parents changes. Your physical and emotional relationship with your mate undergoes some transformations. Your relationship on the job or in your career shifts into a different phase. And what a wonderful time for God to finally maybe get our attention when He's loosing us from some of these other things that consume so much of our time in our earlier years. When God can really kick up His level of communication to us and expectations of us. Could it be that God is hoping that by loosening some of those old things that used to consume us, He can create within us a whole new level of service? The first part of 2 Kings, we have an old prophet, Elijah, taken up into heaven. You know the story. And with him is his successor, maybe we could call him his protege, he was chosen by the Lord, Elisha. They go across the Jordan River and numerous things happen, but Elijah is taken up in a chariot and he drops his cloak on the ground. You know what Elisha does with that cloak? He picks it up and he takes it with him. I don't think Elisha did that because he needed another cloak. He may have, but that's not the purpose of that. No. That's a younger man, I don't know how old he was, taking on the responsibilities that an older man who's no longer there could. That moment in life when, with you and the Lord, the buck has to stop there. You know, a lot of people spend half of their life planning what they're going to do and the other half regretting what they didn't do. What a waste. Well, I'm going to do this. I should have done that. Where's the I did do? Well, that ought to be maybe our middle years. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you." You know, I know some middle-aged people that are stuck in the birth canal. And they've not jumped upon the scene like their talents and like their Lord has the right to expect. These are the years, as I said, when wisdom and energy have that right balance to really be a tremendous opportunity. Now, I'm not letting those of you that are older than middle-aged off of the hook. I don't know if Ed will or not, but knowing him, he probably won't. But taking on these responsibilities is not an easy task. And you will sometimes be attacked and ridiculed by the very ones who will later need your support and help the most. Spiritually among peers, sometimes the hardest to accept are those who take on additional responsibilities because it demands an reaction on the part of those around us. But Paul tells us in Romans 13:11 to wake up out of our sleep. And if you just heard me, you're not asleep. If you didn't hear me, you may be asleep. So it didn't help. But spiritually, we're to awaken out of our sleep. And I believe it requires a multitude of things. I'm just going to mention two of them. We spent an entire session on one of them this week. It takes courage. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to run to win. He didn't say fish or cut bait, but I'll say it. It took courage in the parable of the talents to show the increase. You know, if we live our lives simply to avoid failure, that is selfish. And that is self-centered. And I don't believe God will accept it at any age, but He certainly won't accept it at our prime. There's nothing wrong with fear, but to be paralyzed by it is so silly. In Joshua chapter 1, as they were getting ready to enter into Canaan land, three times the Lord says, "Be strong and of good courage." Why? Because that's the essence of it. Secondly, not only courage, but certainly we need to have the Word of God. It is inexcusable for you and I who have been in the church for years to be outdone in a scriptural discussion by a 90-day wonder. Someone who has gone through the latest fad seminar and can spit verses that you and I ought to have and be able in love to respond. You know, there are people in the Bible that refuse to take on the mantle of responsibility. I think Jonah did. At least for a while. And I could probably make the case he never did fully take it up, or we wouldn't have chapter 4 of Jonah. It would end at chapter 3. And when that occurs, there are terrible consequences. Because our destiny is to serve God. Men and women who walk courageously in and with God will always reach their destination. But that's the only way. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." At Eminence, I talked just a short segment in my class on busyness. And I'll probably talk about it later in this week. Because I am becoming increasingly convinced, especially in these middle years, that busyness is of Satan. Now, the Lord doesn't want us to be lazy, but we consume ourselves with busyness that has no eternal significance whatsoever. Not necessarily wrong, just totally irrelevant. We as a nation are addicted to busyness. But there's no virtue in busyness. The virtue only comes from whatever you choose that busyness to be in. I believe if God asks us to do something, He'll give us the talent. But we've still got to tap into Him with courage. We've got to pick up the cloak. I think often God grows us by pushing us forward. Have you ever taken on an assignment at work that you were uncomfortable with? Boy, that's when you learn. I remember I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I got a phone call. It was my boss's boss, telling me that my boss had just quit and I now had his job. Well, I shook all the way to the airport, I shook all the way home, and I shook all the way to the office. But it was a tremendous time of growth. Was I in over my head? Probably. Did I drown? No. I think as Christians, it's good sometimes when we take on, dare I say, a little more than we think we can do, because that is going to be the time when you really challenge yourselves. Ever had a second chance? Well, we all have, haven't we? But the time will come when God's going to say, that's enough. You've had enough second chances. Now what are you doing? You know, I would be quite happy if on my tombstone it simply said, he picked up the cloak and did what he could. Do I wish my dad was standing here instead of me? Yeah. Do I wish he had the headaches that sometimes come my way? Yeah. Do you wish the same thing regarding people that went on before you? Yeah. Can it be that way? No. Some of your congregations are thriving because you have stepped up to the plate. And some of your congregations are struggling because you haven't. Let someone else, but that doesn't cut it. Others can do it better. If God has graciously surrounded you and blessed you with talented people, He did not do that so that you and I could do less. He did that so that we collectively could do more. In the middle years that God has given us, are really His. So let's give them to Him. Let's give them to Him.